Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Nick Saban was fired. Not recently. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. Are y'all aware of that? That Nick Saban has been fired as a football coach. Think about it. Wait a minute. I never thought about that. You never thought about it because there's a chance you weren't alive when it happened. And it certainly wasn't a high-profile job at the time. When Nick Saban was 30 years old, and I've asked him about this in media days probably, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. When he was 30 years old, he wasn't a coordinator. He was a position coach. He was coaching secondary at Ohio State. And Ohio State had a decent enough season. Not for Ohio State, but they had a decent enough season. They were 8-3. They were ranked number 15 in America. Somehow they fell all the way to the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. And when they showed up, they were going to face a Navy team that had not averaged 50 yards passing per game. And they couldn't score. They just weren't a good offensive team. Well, that night they put up 240 yards through the air, a couple of touchdowns. Ohio State still won, 31-28. But the Navy offense, up and down the field all night long. And Nick Saban was coaching secondary at Ohio State. So they win the bowl game. Get home, back to Columbus, like 2 a.m., and Earl Bruce is the head coach, and he calls a coaches-only meeting. Walks into the meeting, first thing out of his mouth, all the defensive coaches, you're fired. Nick Saban's looking around. Okay, I just got fired. I never did this when I was teaching or coaching. Never made the whole class or the whole defensive line or whatever, like do something because one kid screwed up. No, I'd make the kid who screwed up do something. Well, Earl Bruce walked in and he was, after they won, they finished 9-3, won a bowl game, finished like number 11 in America. All of you on the left side of the table, you're fired. So I asked Nick Saban about that. And he said that that is how it happened. However, he said there was more to it. He said that he didn't say that he was mouthy, but he did not. But he said that he had some definite ideas about what they were going to run in the secondary. And again, this is 30-year-old assistant coach talking to the head coach. And I've always talked about that principle. Man, when you're at the side of the table, you do a lot of listening. When you sit at the end of the table, you're who they're listening to. That is if the head coach says it, that's what we're doing, man. And Nick Saban said that there were instances where he kind of spoke up a little, either too much or too often or whatever it was. And I remember he used a phrase, and he said, at the end of the day, the boss is the boss. And even though, and Earl Bruce was a fine coach, don't get me wrong. Probably it was too much for him. John Cooper as well, I believe. But Earl Bruce was a good coach, and he's a good man and, you know, whatever else. But he fired the whole defensive staff. And Nick Saban realized, I'm 30 years old and I'm unemployed. And one of the lessons that I have to learn, again, his words were, the boss is the boss. He says, even though I knew more than Earl Bruce, and even though I was right in what I was coming up with, he's the head coach. If the boss says it, that's what we're doing. May have seen a headline today. Ole Miss fires offensive line coach after spring football game. 3 days after the Grove Bowl, Ole Miss has announced offensive line coach and running game coordinator, Randy Clements, fired. He was going to enter his second season. He was hired in December of 19 when Lane hired the staff. Sources told ESPN that Kiffin's decision to fire Clements, and I'm reading from Chris Lowe, decision to fire Clements was for football reasons and not related to any off-the-field issues. After meeting with Coach Clemens, determined best interest both sides, grateful to Coach for what he did over the past year, wishing well his family the best moving forward. In 2020, the only year that Randy Clements coached at Ole Miss led the SEC in rushing yards per game. They threw the sixth highest number of passes, gave up the fourth fewest number of sacks. I am a huge Ole Miss fan. Lane Kiffin, the whole vibe going on there, the powder blues, my gosh, wrap me in it. I want to bathe in them. Can't get enough of it. And I will say, during a September, October, November, December period, when just about all of us could use some distraction and just for like, I don't know, a couple hours, oh yeah, I forgot what's outside. Yeah, Lane Kiffin, man, they came through. Thank you. For him to look at all of us and say it was not for football reasons, it was not for off-the-field reasons. Sources told ESPN Kiffin's decision to fire Clements was for football reasons, not related to any off-the-field issues. My understanding is that's not true. In fact, text message I got today, quote, the boss is the boss. That, as it's been presented to me, they didn't get along very well. I'm talking about Lane and his offensive line coach. And at some point, the head coach realized, I want to be in charge. This program is going to run. This coach's office is going to have the atmosphere. It's all going to be good, bad, dead, or buried. It's going to be my decision. In spite of everything you may think, it's the head coach who's going to decide these things. And the boss is the boss. And if you think that it's surprising, well, now, wait a minute. Why would he fire his coach? If they led the SEC in rushing yards and gave up the fourth fewest number of sacks, he has to keep him. There are instances where an individual decides to go a little more chest out because of some production, and whoever is in charge says, yeah, I'll get somebody else and we'll get the same production. There are instances where that's the case. Again, as it's been presented to me, the offensive coordinator, Jeff Lebby, he's none too pleased about this. It was repeated, quote, the boss is the boss. That whether it's personality, scheme, play calling, recruiting, demeanor, whatever it is. Folks, I've said that honestly 1,000 times in my life. If the head coach wants it, that's what we're doing. If it, you know, I coached at a place called South Gwinnett. I think the only high school in America with the mascot is Comets. South Gwinnett Comets. Blue and silver. And I remember they were trying to decide one year, and I didn't care what uniform. I never, ever, ever, ever cared. Just give us uniforms and let's go play. I assumed they would be blue and silver. Well, one year they were trying to decide between royal blue and navy blue, and my only input was royal and navy looks like crap together. So I don't care what you choose, but whatever. Then they came up with an alternative. And the head coach was talking about, like, black jerseys and blue pants. And I was like, I kind of turned around. I was like, if that's what the head coach says, that's what we're doing. If the head coach says purple jerseys, we're wearing purple jerseys. Whenever everybody else was talking, I had an opinion. When it's the head coach, the boss is the boss. And so if you're looking to Oxford right now and wondering, well, now, wait a minute. Sources said that the decision was for football reasons. It was not related to off-the-field issue. I'm sure that there is a way that that's very Bill Clinton sort of accurate, legally accurate, though misleading, that it could be demeanor. It could be approach. It could be play calling, and that's where it all started. I mean, Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin, they didn't look like BFF every Saturday afternoon. You know where part of that started? Play calling. So when you have a, and by the way, why did Lane get replaced between the first playoff game and the second playoff game? Why did Lane get replaced? Was it for off-field issues? Was it for football issues? I mean, at that point, it kind of melded all together. He's an OC that Nick Saban said, you're standing on the sidelines. He didn't have his play callers on the sidelines. He won't put Lane on a leash. Because the boss is the boss. Same thing here. You can paint this however you want to. But the starkness of that, it was for football reasons. If you have seen that language, and then you look and think, all right, well, Chuck just said that they led the league in rushing and they gave up the fourth fewest number of sacks despite flinging it all around creation. Huh, I'm confused. Yet you're supposed to be confused. Because it wasn't about lineups or production or anything that we all think of as football related. On field. They're telling us that was it? I can't figure it out. It's not what we're thinking. That is a kind of down the math equation. This plus this plus this plus this. See, it's a football reason. This was a personality deal. Didn't get along. The boss is the boss. They're going to have a new O-line coach.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The two most compelling words in the draft report is and but. And he's a good person. He was a leader on the team. He graduated from school. Coaches loved him. Read the same player, but he had a positive drug test. He had a domestic violence incident with his girlfriend. He got in a fight in a bar when he was a freshman.
Nick Saban put it in bottom line terms. And we are now, what would kids say? We're one sleep away from the draft? We're a sleep away. 24 hours from the NFL draft, the first round, and then obviously day two is the second, third round. Wrap it up with a big session beginning. It might be noon, but it might be like 10 a.m. on Saturday, but they'll wrap it up. And so to a further degree than like the stars already have been able to cash in, there will now be a contract and a signing bonus, et cetera. And even if you're, you know, an undrafted guy and you get like 40 grand or something, if you're a first rounder and you get a whole lot more than that, some of these kids have already been able to sign either with trading card companies, the shoe, the soda, the video game, the whoever, apparel. And so they're getting a little money in their pockets. And for some of them, it is family tree changing sort of money. I know it certainly would have been for me. I've told you, Georgia, we know what Georgia was, right? Big prison. Y'all don't know that? Yeah, when we had the colonies originally.
Like, oh, you're talking about colonial times, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Georgia is a big penal colony. And so Great Britain, they were like, you know what? Round up the worst of the worst. Send them to that place we call Georgia. I'm fairly certain that back in the day, the original Olivers were shoved off a boat in Savannah or somewhere. So I know from whence I came, all right? I do not have fancy stock. If I got into the NFL, it would be family tree changing sort of money. So I'm happy for every one of these kids that gets the chance, man. Every last one of them. You know, again, a kid like Devonta Smith, who I never heard say boo for 3 years. And then at the Heisman ceremony, he's like, everybody always told me I was too skinny. Everybody has always told me. And that's the closest he got to saying, ooh, face or burn or, you know, whatever. And then leading up to the draft, he's had to do the same thing. He's like, yeah, I'm still what I was when I won the Heisman, still what I was against the SEC, still what I was in the national championship game. It's just what I do. So all 166 of him will be a – I will say he won't – he will be the third receiver taken probably, because you're going to look at the majesty of Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle, and it's just – it. Devonta's a right answer. Those look like more of a right answer. But then Devonta, I mean, to be the third receiver off the board, that's no, you know, falling. And you're talking about, I say Devonta will be gone by the 14th pick, which means here are my measuring sticks. And I've always said this, when you get a little scratch, a little fold money, here's what happens, okay? Here's the difference between not having money and money. You get to start choosing some stuff you don't want to do. When you start to make more money, you get to choose something that you don't want to do anymore. I've told the story to buy baseball cards growing up, beginning when I was 10, 9, 9, cutting grass, all right? I ain't cutting grass anymore. I'm not ironing my own shirts, and I don't even make a lot of money. But when I started to make some money, I was like, I've cut so much grass, I am never cutting grass again. And about 3 years ago, I was like, I'm wheeling this thing in. No, I'm done. And for 3 years, I hadn't cut grass, not ironing my own shirts anymore. See, that's what I do. Devonta Smith, what won't he? He won't be picking up his own dry cleaning, preparing his own meals. He won't even be deciding about the yard. He'll have someone who decides about the yard for him. So Devonta, at this point, he gets to pick everything that he doesn't want to do anymore. I just don't cut my grass or iron my shirts. Devonta's like, yeah, I don't want to cook my breakfast. I don't want to clean my pool. I'm happy for the kid. Dan Matthews, what up?
You know, it's actually funny because I was going to talk about something else, but you actually just led me to another topic, because the topic of Justin Fields right now is unreal when it comes to the draft. It seems like we are trying to find every single reason to discount him and to say that he should not be a drafted player, at least high up in the draft. But funny enough, I don't know if you caught this recently. Pat Fitzgerald, the coach at Northwestern, he did something because Justin Fields, as I just brought up, and Devonta Smith both fall into the same category. Two players who are taking a different approach, but they're both the right approach. For Fields, let others make the excuses for you. Don't make the excuses yourself. Oh, my hip. Oh, my thumb in that game against Northwestern. That's something that Pat Fitzgerald brought up, said, yeah, hey, we banged up his thumb early in the game. I bet people didn't know that about him. And also, too, oh, by the way, we had a pretty good football team out there. I bet a lot of people didn't necessarily care about that either. So the fact that Justin Fields did not play well in that game should not be an indictment on how he's going to be at the next level. And I appreciate the fact that Fields has not been the one making the excuse. That's a good one. For Smith, it was the line where I thought you were going to about where football players were not bodybuilders with the whole, you know, 166 pounds, all that different types of stuff. When he was asked about that, I loved his answer where he goes, well, look how versatile I am. Look at everything that I've done. I can play the X. I can play this. I can play, you know, other spots on the field. That's what you should be focused on, not the fact that I'm 166 pounds and you say to yourself, huh, a little small to be playing at this level. Again, both answers, both ways to go about your business, that are the right way in terms of being able to show NFL teams, hey, me over here, I'm the right guy you want at that spot.
And for what Nick Saban was addressing there as well, if we go back to his cut about and or but, he's talking about the elite guys, because when you get into the latter rounds, a but will actually get you undrafted. The and is actually a separator for all things being equal. And he is an honor graduate and a three-time captain. And that's for the we have four right answers we want to separate. The but is actually more often we were going to draft him, but we decided not to.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We talk college football, do it all year long, have been since the beginning of the 2014 season. And if it's Wednesday and the bottom of hour one, you know what it means. All across the network, nine states, 51 sticks. We're talking with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. It is the written word. It is the audible word. You're the podcast, all that. And you also have Twitch TV. So you can read, you can watch, you can listen. It's all at LandryFootball.com. Chris Landry, how you doing today, man?
I am doing good. I'll be better in a few days. But, yeah, doing good to stretch run.
Yeah, you are an accountant on, like, April 12th. You just got to get through the next little bit. Well, let's talk about what's going on at the website quickly. And I just saw it popped into my email box. Couldn't have been easier. So, Chuck Oliver, you have been renewed for your annual membership at LandryFootball.com. And the cool thing is I got locked in at the low rate from a couple of years ago. So when the price goes up, that's for everybody else.
Yeah, certainly we appreciate that. We've got a lot of things going that we're working on the website. You know, obviously focusing a lot on the draft. So just to give you an idea, we've taken all 32 teams and we've put them on the clock, take them inside their draft room, analyzing every move they've made in free agency, analyzing the roster, the pre-draft depth chart, go through the picks that they have, and give you an idea as opposed to, well, they're going to take this guy at 13. This is their pick currently. These are – At each of the needs, these are the guys that would be value there at said pick. And there may not be value there. And that gives you a better understanding of how the true draft works out. We take the key needs, go through all the needs through the entire roster, but then we take the key needs and tell you who would be good value on the first round, second round, third round, so on and so forth. So we take you through all of that. We have scouting reports on all of these players. You can check that out. We've got the horizontal draft board, which is the best overall players, and where the cutoff points are and what they mean, and then the position board. So we've got it all for you. We're going to be doing a draft show on this very channel, Twitch TV channel. Half an hour before the draft starts, I'm going to basically take people, pull the curtain back, decided how to do it. I'm just, as I do my work for teams, which the work is done, but as I communicate with teams through DMs, and I'm just going to have the headset on and we're going to talk draft. We're going to talk about what's going to come. We're not going to do it like the dog and pony show where, you know, they tell Urban Meyer, hey, don't say that you're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. You know, let's just say you've narrowed it down because we got a TV show to do and we got to do all these prepackaged plans. It's going to be the unvarnished look. We'll tell you what's going on, who's trying to move an angle here or there, what's coming up, where the picks likely are going to be, and likely you'll get them before they're picked or announced anyway. So we're going to give you an unvarnished look, and we think it'd be a lot of fun, and we'll be on half an hour before the first pick. We'll analyze what's coming up. Thursdays, do the same thing. Friday, Saturday, take you through the entire draft. And then when it's all done, we'll take you pick by pick on Landry Football. Every pick, every free agent signing, what the player means, what are the chances, how the fit doesn't fit, what have you. So, yeah, that's what we got going on right now. And when I get this to bed, what is fun is I can then get into all the spring practice tape and look at it sequentially and begin to break down all the college rosters and begin the preseason, look ahead to the season. When I get the draft done, it's more than just the draft done. The next season starts for me because at that point, the majority of the personnel moves, college and the NFL, have been done. No, we got transfer portal, but then I can start to preview the NFL, the college teams, and I begin to look ahead. Right now, while we're looking ahead, it's about building for next year. So it's always kind of a benchmark for me where I breathe and then get ready and get started for the season.
Let's talk about what could happen tomorrow night. Now, evaluation is all done. Priorities and list, all that's done. How do you believe, do you have an opinion of how tomorrow night unfolds for Mac Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it'll, you know, I think obviously the Niners have to make that decision, and we'll make it. And listen, I think if as I've said before, if they decide to go and take Mac Jones, is because of what he can bring from the neck up and his accuracy and getting the ball out on time. I think that Kyle Shanahan, first of all, a couple of things. Kyle Shanahan's making the decision. He is the boss. He hired the GM. He brought the GM with him. He also is the quarterback coach and the offense coordinator. He will make that decision. So this talk about they're arguing this, and they're not arguing anything. I mean, they're certainly discussing, and maybe other people in the organization may think differently. Kyle will make the decision. He's already made the decision. He just doesn't want to announce it. The league doesn't like that. That last thing they want is now three teams that they know who the pick's going to be. You know, that's kind of the way it is. What Kyle sees in Mac Jones is what he saw and coached with Matt Ryan, with Kirk Cousins. He sees, you know, he and I've talked about, he sees a lot of what Joe Burrow brought to the table. A lot of those things, that's what he sees. So that's what you're looking at with him. And if they want to build a team that you build a clean pocket, the ball comes out quick, great decision-making, that's what you get with Mac Jones if that's the direction that they go. He's as good on the board as anybody since Peyton. And to be honest with you, if I'm honest, probably every bit as good, believe it or not. He absorbs football at a level that's very, very unique. I mean, he did it at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he was able to teach new stuff that they taught him at noon on Tuesday. He was able to teach it by 3 o'clock. He's that good. That's what is appealing about him. Now, what's not appealing is if you're running an offense where you're going to use his mobility, which he doesn't have, escapability, which he doesn't have, then that's not going to work. So he's not a universally thought of, well, that's the answer. Well, because the game is thought of a little bit differently. If you're looking for the next Patrick Mahomes, he ain't it, okay? That's not what it's all about. So what is it they're looking for? You know my little goofy analogy, you're on a car lot. Well, Chuck, what do you want? You want a minivan? Does you know Miss Kristen want a sedan? You want a pickup, whatever, convert. Yeah, I mean they got good deals, you know, they'll say yeah. They're a lot, these quarterbacks are good, but they're different. And it's what you're looking for. And so we'll see. Kyle will announce what he's looking for and where he's going and what his plans are tomorrow night. But it's completely different, and he could do both. I mean, he could do something with a different quarterback that's more mobile. And we'll obviously announce what he wants to do, and then that's kind of where I see it. If, to your point, and you're asking it, if he doesn't go there, then he's the guy of the quarterbacks that would likely drop the furthest, because not everybody A sees quarterbacks that way, or is as good at maybe evaluating a developing quarterback. So that's the best answer I can give you on where he's going to potentially go. And then if he doesn't go there, he may drop a little bit further than the others, but I think we'll see those guys. It's the storyline of the draft, because for the ones that are not in the quarterback shopping business, because they have one, they're rubbing their hands together like, you know, this is just is really fun, because now we may be picking 5, 6, 7. We may be picking the guy that's 1, 2, 3 on our board, because the best non-quarterbacks are going to be available to those teams.
I can't get enough. The more I watch, you know, I'm not going to say watch tape. I watch video, whatever's online, of Ja'Marr Chase. What an advanced kid, and he still is a kid, and he played a couple of seasons, caught a pile of passes, a bunch of touchdowns. He's ready to play in the NFL. I mean, day one, and maybe as a one. That's my opinion. You're a scout. What do you think of him?
Yeah, look, he was the best receiver in their team 2 years ago, and all Justin Jefferson did was the best receiver at rookie in the NFL last year. So it's really good. He's not big, but he's not small. He's got decent size. He's got tremendous toughness and body control. So in the day and age of the, you want an X receiver there again, what is it that you want? You want an X receiver that's going to win at the jump point, that's going to win the 50-50 balls, that is tough, that's great tracking the ball, that is very fast, underrated speed. He's got the entire package. He doesn't have great length. He doesn't have great height. He plays a little bit bigger. He'll tip his hand a little bit early in the route. But he creates separation. He's got gear changing acceleration, an elite finisher. I think he's a great fit. I think there's a good chance that's what Cincinnati does at five. And we'll see. You know, he'll go very high. He's one of the top four players in this draft, in my view.
I want to ask you about one more SEC guy. We've talked a lot about the LSU and Bama receivers for 50 good reasons, but I want to spend a little time in Gainesville and not Kadarius Toney. Let's go a little further down the line. Trayvon Grimes. Tell me how you think it, because there's not a lot of big receivers in this year's draft, and so that maybe creates an opportunity for a guy like Grimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, there's no question. Fort Lauderdale, St. Thomas Aquinas kid. He is tall, big catch radius. He doesn't have great acceleration. He'll struggle to separate, and that's going to be the issue with him. Again, he's 6'4", he's 220 specifically to where he is. But he doesn't have, great burst ability, so he's going to catch a lot of uncontested catches. He's going to have to. But he coordinates his route running, and he stems his routes pretty well. He's really strong. I think he's a dependable pass-catching guy that I think can be in the rotation. I think he can be your fourth guy. I think he can, not people understand it, not the fourth guy off the board, your fourth receiver in the NFL. Yeah. He's that type of a guy. I think he can pay X. I think he can be big slot. I think he can do a lot of things. I think he's great value. And as you mentioned, his size is a commodity. So you're looking for somebody middle, late, particularly late. He has some capabilities there.
Can I ask you just a quick question about that? Because I know that so many, it's what you do to be smart. You do combine or pro day specific training. And you, for instance, for a guy like, Grimes, you drag tires or parachutes on your back or whatever and try to cut your 40 time. But scouts and teams know that's what's going on. And so it still has to be functional football playing speed, not just, hey, I was a 4.8, but now I'm a 4.62. I mean, y'all know what's up there, right?
Right. And here's the other thing that people don't know. So people will say, do you know, Chris, that he ran a 4.49 on camp? Yeah, I do. All these times have to be converted. There's no such thing as a, 4.49, 4.5. It is conditional based upon where in the circumstances. There's also, as you're alluding to it, straight line speed, separation speed, and just describing him on film, he struggles to separate at this level. Yeah, it is functional football speed. The times matter, particularly for receiver, but it determines, he's a guy that can get deep once he gets going, but he doesn't have great acceleration. For example, his 10 times, his 10-yard splits are not what you would like to have ideally, comparatively, but, from the 20 to 40, which I take those splits and I look at it, and that tells me something different. Yeah, there's no question about it that the measurables are really important because they help determine the physical traits, the physical transferable traits. It doesn't tell you how good a football player he is or is not, but it does give you an idea. And look, he's a big guy that is a long strider, so he can get downfield. You run in the 9 route, he's fine. Being able to separate and change directions where he has a little bit of a trouble, which he's going to have to work double moves and strength there. So for all of these guys, yes, it's not the times and the workout numbers. If you're just looking at the numbers and you're not there to witness it, you're missing at least 50% of the issue, because you're correct. You can run a fast 40 if you know how to run it. I'm not concerned about how well you train for it. Although I admire the fact that you said, that's important. I'm going to train for it. That's a check mark there. But I want to see you run. And if I see a guy's time, but I don't see him run, that's not good enough for me. I've got to see him run. How he runs tells me how fast a guy is, not a number on a page.
And that's why a guy like Grimes is not a top 10 prospect like Waddle, for instance, because with Grimes, it has to be pass protection. It has to be play call. It's dependent on the quarterback. With Jalen Waddle, it's the right call. Whatever it is, he makes it the right route for him. He gets free. He gets deep. He gets loose. He runs a stop, and the corner keeps going. I mean, that's the difference between an elite guy and a guy like Grimes, where it's dependent on a lot of other things. Folks, this is what it is with Chris Landry, firsthand, direct from him, LandryFootball.com. We break. We're going to come back with more from Chris Landry next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's a Wednesday. It's hour one. That means it's Chris Landry, and we got an NFL draft in one day. So we're going to bounce around and talk about some players who are going to get paid over the next couple of nights. And I have to say next couple because I don't know about Greg Russo. I think that if he would have played, then he would put up more numbers. And in a draft where there is not Godzilla or Rodan, no fire breathers coming off the edge, it's the same thing. I was just talking about big receivers. Well, it kind of puts a premium on you. I don't know what Greg Russo's NFL future looks like. I want to welcome on again from LandryFootball.com. It is Chris Landry. Chris, break down the former Miami Hurricane and his prospects.
Well, you bring up a really good point, because what are you getting? Well, let me tell you what he can be. I mean, let me tell you what he looks like. Let me tell you what he, when he is healthy and playing and reliable, he reminds me an awful lot of Jason Pierre-Paul coming out. Now, Jason Pierre-Paul was not very productive out of South Florida, University of South Florida, and developed really well. Greg doesn't play snap to snap like you want, but he's got just length, frame, athleticism. He's built like JPP, and he's also built like Chandler Jones. I mean, those are the two guys that he can be like. Is he? Hey, that's you just don't know. I mean, you just don't know what you're getting. That's what you're getting if you get him, a super long athlete with violent hands and acceleration. But you're getting a guy that's a one-year starter he's a guy physically that you could line him up at left end and reduce him in nickel, and he can be a terror. Or he could be a guy that you just sit there and we talk about in 2 or 3 years, yep, just hadn't panned out. And it could be either one. There is – welcome to my world, my friend, trying to figure out, you know, how this guy's going to create – his future for himself, because that's the range of what he could be. He could be a bust, or he could be like those guys that I mentioned, and that's pretty doggone good.
Chris, I want to give Asante Samuel Jr. some credit for beyond whatever was on the field. You talk about sitting in the middle of crazy for several months and somehow being able to focus on the prize. I thought Samuel had himself a heck of a season where literally he's in a fishbowl with crazy all around him.
No doubt about it. It's like the guy that comes from trouble and he doesn't get in trouble. You know that's good. I mean, the guy that doesn't get into trouble, that's raised right and two good parents and, you know, pretty well off and doesn't really need anything. That's one thing. You are around trouble, but you avoid it as much as you can. Yep. That's pretty impressive. You're correct. In a world of chaos, he was a leader. He was a competitor. And you can't say that about some other guys there. He's got a smallish frame, isn't ideal. But, boy, he's twitched up. He is fluid. Plays with a lot of confidence. This guy has got Jair Alexander, Antoine Winfield Jr. type of skills, and I think this guy's going to be a big-time hit. I think he's going to – when you look at the issues and depending on how you got medical grades on Caleb Forley, Asante Samuel may be the benefactor. I think he can help you in the slot. I think he's physical, really good athleticism. He just doesn't have the great length and height that you'd like. This guy's going to play, and he's going to play well in this league.
One more guy. We got just a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you about Hamza Nasruldeen, who, brother, if he's healthy and there's no injuries and all that, I'm looking at like almost a prototype for what you want in the NFL, a big guy who can run, and that gives you the ability to adjust to personnel without having to formation without having to adjust your personnel. But there are question marks with Hamza. Again, we got about a minute left. Tell me what you think his future is.
Well, you know, he's really physically gifted, no question about it. He's got a stretched out frame. He's got frame. It's a position fit a little bit. Where is he going to play in base? But he's super long. He's a downhill force player that I think he's got some traits that you can mold around. He played free safety for them. That's not as I think he's a better in the slot. I think he's better playing in some of the big slot type role. I think that's his strength. I think he's a big time aggressive player. He got to find a place for him. For me, that's as a big slot, a big slot safety that is physical against the run, and that's limited a little bit in coverage, but you can mitigate that with covering a big slot. That's how I see him. And it's a position fit issue that'll determine how high he goes.
Yeah, I just know he's a ball player, man.
Yes, he is.
And you talk about
should be great on special teams. Really gave him a high grade in his projection on special teams to help you and be a real bonus.
Yeah, and he fights through everything, whether it's injuries. And I'm not trying to be funny. Injuries, traffic, it doesn't matter. I mean, he's just one of those guys that you're like, all right, he's a playmaker. He's going to be around the ball. Chris, it's just fantastic. Again, tomorrow night, I'm going to be jumping in with you. Cannot wait to get your live, in-the-moment draft analysis and insight. We get to watch it all unfold at LandryFootball.com, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a bunch. Appreciate you. Take care, buddy.
All right, Chris Landry again, LandryFootball.com. Tomorrow night is going to be fascinating because he's going to have the headset on as well as his cell phones and the direct live in-the-moment contact going on with the various NFL teams, plural, bunch of them that he works with. And that's what's going to be going on. So you get to actually see that. There are live look-ins on NFL Network, ESPN. We've seen all those into the war rooms and all that. This is going to be a little different because it's almost like there's 9 war rooms or 10 or however many teams that Chris is consulting with right now. So just really looking forward to that, and I appreciate him coming on and the draft insight and the previews that we got. Next week, we'll wrap up a little bit of draft, but then also, as Chris said, getting back to spring football wrap-ups, ACC, SEC, and everywhere else with Chris Landry.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.